Looking for all your fantasy footy needs? Look no further.
You!
You're listening to the Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. Here's your host, Max Matthews.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. My name is Max Matthews, and I'm your host for the 2024 fantasy season. This week, we'll just get into how my team went in round six, and then we'll follow with some questions, some break-even talk, and some captains that haven't been decided yet. Sorry for not getting this out to everyone a little bit earlier. It's just been a pretty hectic week. So for round six, I scored 1924, so that gave me a round six rank of 863. I'm almost halved my ranking, so I'm now up to 7,517. Team value is looking pretty good as well. Have about 100k left to spend on trades this week, which I'll go through a little bit later. So Harry Sheezer 106, didn't get the Finn McGuinness tag like we were expecting, just wasn't as hot on that as some other people, so I didn't go captain on him, but still rose 21k in cash and is now one of the most expensive players in the game. Still got an average of 126 almost, so he's definitely someone that if you haven't got, you need to get him in, or otherwise he'll burn you for most of the season. Lockie Whitfield, he wasn't too bad. 71% time on ground against the Lions was a little bit concerning. That's a little bit more than what he would usually have. Took seven marks, so it just wasn't anything too impressive from him. That was against Carlton. He versus Brisbane last night. Nick Dacos, so he had a 95 against the Power. 3 disposals, which was good, just doesn't mark and doesn't tackle as well as we saw him do last season. Still gets an occasional goal in a couple rounds this year, so it was against a tough matchup, but 95 will take that. Hayden Young, 88, was all right, sat out a lot of the game in the fourth quarter, so you only had 54% time on ground. Getting 88 from that is very impressive. It's just that seeing 20 minutes on the bench in the last quarter was a little bit concerning for owners, and it looks like he's going to be cleared to play this week, but hopefully it's not a laid out, and hopefully we don't need to adjust the trades for him. So Massimo and Zach Williams, both very bad. So Mass got subbed, I think it was around the third quarter. So he had 49% time on ground and scored 33. He wasn't doing anything, so rightly so that they subbed him out. Has Sydney this week, very tough matchup. Zach Williams, 28, also got subbed out with an Achilles knock, so he had 41% time on ground before he got subbed out there. I think I'm going to need to end up trading one of them. I'm not too sure who yet. From what I've heard, I think that Zach Williams will be fine to play, so I'll probably keep him. Massimo, I'm just not too sure about. He looks like he's going to get subbed most weeks now, so I might just let him go this week. Charlie Dean didn't play on my bench, and Sam Closey was my emergency, so I could have had an extra 40 points there, but unfortunately that just didn't work out. I probably should have put him over Zach Williams after I saw Massimo go at 33, but that's okay. I took the VC option of Bontempelli, and he scored 110. So it's not too bad from him in what I thought was going to be a tough scoring round for most players, especially high-end primos. So I definitely would take 110, and hopefully some VC options out there were pretty good for other teams as well. Connor Rosie, 70. Just didn't look as good as he's been for most of the season against Collingwood, you would expect him to play all right. He did play quite a bit up forward, so I'm not sure if that was a adjustment in CBA rotations or what happened there, but he just didn't look as interested after Collingwood got that run on in the second half. So definitely someone to look at for the round 13 bye, I think it is, since there's only two teams on that, but probably can wait a couple more weeks with his break even at 141. Nick Mon, 109, just keeps getting it done. So he now averages 109 for the season, and versus Collingwood in the Anzac Day clash, and I'll go through that a little bit later. Sam Walsh, 101, so brought him into my team, and after his 145, I wasn't expecting that type of score against GWS, but definitely another impressive performance. Had 35 disposals, 4 tackles, and 0 marks. So as soon as he gets those two numbers up, I'm pretty sure he'll be a 100 to 110 guy for the rest of the season. Versus Geelong, so they've got a pretty depleted midfield right now, and I will be expecting him to go pretty big this round. So definitely someone to look at if you didn't bring him in last week. Riley Bonner, 83, now priced at 717 versus his old side in Port Adelaide this week. He's been averaging just over 90 for the season, so been really serviceable for most teams this year. Has dropped a couple back-to-back 80s, but I'm not too concerned about that. If we can hold him for a couple more rounds, I won't be too mad. Breaking of 73, so he should be able to reach that most weeks. Just with Port, I think it's going to be a tough game, but has North and Hawthorn after that, which should be all right. Matt Roberts, 89, junked it up a little bit in the last quarter. 23 disposals, 5 marks, 4 tackles. Just a really easy option to field as a rookie, and probably can be cashed out a little bit later in the season, but not just yet. He has Hawthorn this week, which is going to be a very nice game for him, and then has GWS, so that's a little bit tougher. Freo, a little bit tough as well. Carlton, and then Bulldogs to go into his round 12 bye. Jeremy Sharp, 74, and Will Graham, 50, were my last two midfielders. So Jeremy Sharp had a decent game with a 74. Will Graham just didn't really look like he wanted the ball as much as he did in that Hawthorn game where he got those 14 tackles. He didn't tackle as much this game. So definitely keep your eye on him. He might be sub, but I'm not too sure. But just didn't really impress from what I saw of the match. Cooper Simpson, I brought in a couple weeks ago to get a Harley Reid score onto my field, and he is named as a debutant for this week, so that's really nice to pick someone that actually would debut this year, and has Bulldogs, so could be a pretty nice game for Cooper Simpson and could rise up in cash a little bit. I assume lots of coaches will jump on him next week if he gets a decent score. Riley Sanders, so he was named sub again, and he got 22, so didn't really impress from his last quarter efforts. 5 disposals, 1 mark, 2 tackles, and he has been omitted from the side after Thursday team selections came out last night, so probably someone that needs to go for quite a few teams, but I think I'll just be holding him and hoping he gets back in that best 22 for the Bulldogs. Grundy and Jerry, both 125 pluses, just really nice games. Obviously hold Brody Grundy through his bye, and he pumps out a pretty big score. I haven't got Max Scorn, so that kind of saved me. With people that are going with that maybe Jerry Gorn combo, or maybe someone like a Rowan Marshall. I dodged a couple of those bullets, but Brody Grundy was really good on the weekend. Has Hawthorn this week, so it shouldn't be too bad. But Ned Reeves has been a little bit restrictive so far this year. Isaac Heaney, 113. So he is still, I think he is the highest averaging forward this year. And priced at, well, it's getting up to almost that $1 million mark. It's probably not too late to jump on Isaac Heaney. You need him this season, whether you've got him or not. You just have to get him at some point this year. Will probably be my captain option this week, I'd say. With that Hawthorn matchup, I think it'll be pretty easy. But definitely someone that you need to get to as soon as possible, or otherwise you're going to be burnt by the rest of the comp for most of the year. That is if he stays with that midfield role. Sam Flanders, obviously gone to halfback. I brought him in this week, and goal 126, following his 125 game the week before. So he had 34 touches and 8 marks. So he's been racking up off the halfback line. And with the West Coast this week, he's also another decent captain option. Dane Zorko, 127. So this is where I went up in rank quite a bit. He is a bit of a unique pick. Now up to 14% following the trade-ins from yesterday. And he got 2 goals, so I'm not too sure what happened there. But he had 26 touches, 8 marks, 6 tackles and 2 goals for his highest scoring game of the year. And I'll talk about how he went last night with that GOS game, but it wasn't too good from what I saw in the last 15 minutes. Tom Powell, 82, not too bad. Probably going to be a top 6 forward this year. And has Crows, St Kilda, Gold Coast and Essendon, followed by Port Adelaide before his round 12 bye. So someone that you can look at holding until that mid-season bye. But obviously round 12 byes we are pretty heavy with right now. So probably need to jump off a couple of those guys even if we don't want to. Zach Fisher, 60, has now been named sub according to Mitch Cleary. So that came out this morning, and unfortunately I think that's it for Zach Fisher. I think a lot of people will end up trading him out now that that news has come out. Versus the Crows, that would have been a nice game for him. But with a break-in of 85 and him being sub, I think it's better if we get rid of him for now rather than just waiting on him to finally get a game again and hopefully doing well. Harley Reid scored an 80, so that's his second best scoring game for the year, I think. So he had 81 versus Richmond the week before and pumps out at 80 yet again this week. Need 3 goals for it, but really, who cares? He's a fieldable option after his last 3 games. And unfortunately, the Eagles have rested him, according to a Tom Morris report earlier this week. And yeah, that's just really disappointing. He was going to be easily F6 for me this week, but now I need to field another rookie that I didn't really want to. Yeah, it's just a little bit concerning that they need to rest him for some pretty important games for the club, following how good he's been so far this year. Seth Campbell didn't play due to his bye, and Darcy Wilson, 61. He runs all day, but unfortunately his points just don't usually translate to how good his efforts are. Has Port this week, tougher matchup, but I might need to field him now that Harley Reid's been named out. Jai Clark was the sub and he scored 25. So I'll just go through probably some of the most trade in and trade out players. I know a few of them have already happened so far this week with that Wednesday and Thursday night games. Hugo Garcia, most rated player, 26,000 coaches jumping on him. And why wouldn't you when he is probably the third, fourth highest CBA midfielder for the Saints? And I think he's just going to be a really easy fieldable option for the next few rounds until we can upgrade to someone a little bit more expensive. I actually went with Jai Caldwell over the second most rated player in Jack McRae this week. I thought that Collingwood was going to be an easier matchup, and Jack McRae has Freo this week, who are a little bit harder to score against. I definitely see the reason why you would go with a Jack McRae with a breaking of 74 with that 120 next to his name from last week. But the only problem is that there were so many midfielders that scored well in that St Kilda game. So I think they were just sharing the points quite easily, and I don't think Freo are going to give up that many points this week. And I'd prefer Essendon's run compared to McRae's for the rounds leading up to his bye. And even if he does well against Freo, it's pretty easy to hop on him for the Hawthorn and Richmond games. Sam Walsh, been traded in by 6,000 coaches, which is the same amount as Nick Daicos. So if you haven't got those two, I'd recommend bringing them in. So Nick Daicos played yesterday for that Anzac Day clash. He scored 98, so you'd be pretty happy with that. Who's he got in the next coming rounds? He's got Carlton, West Coast and Adelaide in the next three. So those West Coast and Adelaide games are going to be pretty easy. Carlton, I'm not too sure about. I think that's going to be a little bit harder for him with that George Hewitt tag maybe coming. We'll have to wait and see. Sam Flanders, 5.2k coaches jumping on him. Jai Caldwell, as I mentioned before, 5k jumping on him as well. So those two guys are really good midfield options. Sam Flanders obviously being the second best forward so far this year. Jai Caldwell is getting up there in forward rankings, but unfortunately dropped a 71 yesterday. Spent so much time on the bench, I noticed. And in what was a pretty competitive game, I wasn't too surprised to see him score poorly. Had 24 touches, but most of those were handballs, unlike his weeks before that, where his kick-to-handball ratio was a little bit better than what he had yesterday. His marks were down and his tackles were down massively, so I'm not too sure what was happening there. And gave away two free kicks against as well. Definitely a good option still with West Coast, North, Richmond and Gold Coast in his next five. So just someone to keep your eye on. But I'm not too worried about Jai Caldwell. Sam Closey, he's priced at 422k, so definitely someone that is a little bit more of an expensive rookie now. But with an average of 87 and a break-even of negative 15, I think it's probably best if you jump on him this game, or otherwise he's going to skyrocket and you won't be able to afford him anymore. So I think it's the best idea to jump on him this week or just not get him at all. Isaac Heaney, so like I suggested just before, people were jumping on him just because they have missed the boat for his hot start to the season. And is probably the best forward option to bring in this week if you don't have him. He is a bit expensive, but you're paying up for a guy that's averaged 120 almost this year. Dane Zorko, so unfortunately, if you went with Dane Zorko yesterday, you would have seen a change in role against GWS, who were going to be hard to score against, but playing as a forward and almost an on-balling midfielder, his scores actually worse than what he would have got at half-back. Still averages 103 for the year, but with a 62 coming this week, I think it's best to not go for him anymore. His role is a little bit all over the place now. And Connor McKenna came back, and obviously he took Dane Zorko's role. Conor McKenna didn't do too well, but I don't think he's going to get dropped. So just wait on Zorko. If he gets that half-back role again, you can probably jump on him. But I'm probably going to need to hold him for a couple more weeks before his bye. I think that's in round 12 as well. Yes, it is. So with Gold Coast, Adelaide, Richmond, Hawthorn, his run was really good, but I just don't think he's going to score well. Playing as a forward, Will Graham, so if you haven't jumped on him yet, obviously some people are doing that. Cooper Simpson, so 3.2k coaches jumping on him now. Against Bulldogs, pretty easy matchup. Breaking on 25 as all 200k rookies are. And has a decent run going to his mid-season bye. Has got Sydney in there and Melbourne, which might be a little bit difficult, but hopefully he can just stay in the team. And then you've got Darcy Jones, Max Gawn, Elliot Yeo, and Nick Mon to follow those guys. Trade out players. Sanders, yep, I'm not too surprised about that. 24,000 coaches jumping off him. 21,000 coaches jumping off Zach Williams. And 11,000 coaches jumping off Massimo D'Ambrosio. So all three of those guys are in my team right now. And I'm only going to get rid of one this week following Zach Fisher's news this morning. So I'm going to hold Riley Sanders, hoping he gets back in the team. If not, I can easily offload him. And Zach Williams, I think, has the better scoring potential over someone like a Massimo. And has got Geelong this week, which are pretty easy for defenders. So I'm just going to hold him, see how he goes. If he gets subbed off with another Achilles, he probably has to go next week. But with a break-in of 76, I think he can definitely get that. Luke Jackson needs to be traded. Sean Darcy's back, and his role is not what we wanted. So if you have him in your forward line, I'd definitely go to one of the top guys. Hopefully he didn't go Zorko. But someone like a Flanders, Heaney, even a Caldwell, maybe Jack McRae is probably the easiest option this week. I'd go for that. Tom Stewart has to go. He got concussed and will be out for 1 to 2 weeks. Zane Dersma, his cash generation is gone now. So he's up to 400k, so you can offload him to maybe a Garcia. Is probably the best move to go down and go someone else up. Fisher up to 4,000 coaches now jumping off him. And I definitely advise doing that with that news coming out this morning. Colby McKercher also getting traded out by quite a few coaches. I did that move last week and that worked pretty well for me. He didn't do too well. He got a 64. So he went down in price a little bit. But he's definitely been a very nice rookie to start the year off with. Jai Clark. Yeah, he's going to be sub. He has actually been omitted. So he's emergency for the team this week. So 2.6k coaches jumping off him. Toby Green, if you had him, you probably have to get rid of him with that one-match suspension being upheld in the tribunal this week. Ollie Dempsey, you can get rid of Ollie Dempsey, but so many other problems this week in the forward line and in the midfield that you can probably hold him for one more. Lazaro, people are getting rid of. You don't need to get rid of Harley Reid. His cash generation is still there, and it's only 1 week. And hopefully comes back firing the week after against Essendon. So that should be an interesting game. Darcy Wilson, you can hold for one more week. Has got Port, which is a little bit of a tougher matchup, but should be okay. Blake Howe scored an 80, so hopefully people didn't get rid of him this week. Had a really easy game against Richmond and scored well. So that's about it for the most traded in and trade out players. For break evens, so Lafau played on Wednesday. He had a negative 19 break even and scored a 47. So he'll go up quite a bit. Closey, negative 15. Hugo Garcia, negative 13. If you haven't got those two guys, this is probably the last week for Closey. Hugo Garcia, you can jump on this week or next week. Should be okay. Blake Drury and Biggie Nguyen, negative 9 and negative 6 break-evens. So those two guys are quite affordable. I'm not sure about Drury. He scored 100 in his first match this year. Burr 44 against Hawthorn last week, so a bit up and down. Biggie, he's not really much of a fantasy scorer. He had 83 in the first round against Geelong. Time on ground's not an issue with both 90-plus percent time on ground in those two games. Will Graham, negative 1 break-even. And we've only got six guys with negative break-evens this week. And then it goes to... who's playing? So Kyle Oman, he played last night. He had a 10 break-even. Josh Draper, 12 break-even. And the other Garcia has a 18 break-even. So those are the guys with the lowest break-evens, highest break-evens. Clayne Oliver still has the highest break-even, so he only scored a 65 and will be super cheap soon. So keep your eye on how he goes. Had his hand surgery, so he should be getting back into the rhythm of things in the coming weeks. He has that West Coast game in round 10, which could be pretty good for his scoring and his price. So keep your eye on how he goes in the next 2 weeks before that game. Tom Green, 151, saw him get 127 last night and looks back to his best. He'll go down a little bit, but he will be about 930k, I'd say. So someone that you can definitely hop on next week. He's probably going to be one of the easiest guys to get to. And he's got that round 12 break bye, so that's going to be a little bit concerning for people trying to jump on him. Caleb Sarong, 144 break even. If he doesn't do well this week, probably going to be one of the guys that I'm going to try to get on next week with his run coming up to his bye. Rowan Marshall, 141 break even, following his 60 last week. I'm not too sure what happened in that game, but English just beat him pretty badly. So he has Jordan Sweet this week with Soldo being named as a late out following those team selections last night. Connor Rosie, 141 break even as well against St Kilda, should play okay. Rory Laird against North also should be okay, but I'm just not too sure with that midfield rotation. Saliga's been getting almost bulk CBAs now. Push Rory Laird out a little bit with Matt Crouch also coming back this week. Definitely a watch to see what his role is. If you have him, money, get rid of him a little bit later in the year. But with North, Eagles, Hawks, Richmond leading up to his round 15 bye, probably someone that you can jump on if you see a change in his role. And then you've got someone like a Zach Merritt who scored pretty well yesterday against Collingwood. Christian Petrarca, 74 this week, so he's going to go down again. Luke Ryan, as one of the highest averaging defenders, he's got a 136 break-even. And then you've got someone like a Bontempelli with a 128 break-even who hopefully can pump out a big score against Frio this week. I'll just go through how my team's looking this week following all of the carnage that's happened so far this round. So I had Whitfield, Dacos, Martin, Caldwell, and Zorko all play in the last 2 days. So Whitfield 105. Still look pretty good off halfback. You can't really deny his efforts, his marking capabilities there. Just a little bit down. And with a 71% time on ground, that's a little bit lower than what we've seen so far this year. Dacos was on 100 before. He got deducted 2 points after the game. So he had 27 disposals, 1 goal. I thought that someone like a Durham was going to go to him, but he was let off the hook a little bit in the second half mostly. I think he had 12 disposals in one quarter. And with a break-even of 124, he's going to go down in price again, so people that didn't jump on him this week, you can jump on him next. Also with that pretty handy run leading up to his mid-season bye. Nickerman 113, so he was up there for a couple of the best players on the ground. So he had 30 disposals, only the 4 marks, which was a little bit weird to see because he normally gets 6-7 marks a game. Also kicked a goal, so that's 3 weeks in a row he's actually kicked a goal from the half back line. 2 games under 100 so far this year, so he's been really good. Eagles next week could go pretty big. Brian Caldwell instead of McRae, so I knew that he was going to have a bit of a poor game sometime in the next few rounds, but I was expecting a little bit more for Anzac Day. Obviously, very competitive game, stoppage heavy game. He was playing as a high half forward and also flowed into contests as well. So his disposal count isn't bad. He has 25 touches almost a game. But 2 marks, 3 tackles, it's just a little bit disappointing because he had 10 marks 2 games ago and he had 10 tackles last game against the Crows. But he has West Coast and he seems to score pretty well against some teams that are pretty easy to score against. So he has 108, 117 against the Bulldogs and the Crows. And with Eagles coming up, I think that can be a game that he can score quite well in. North, Richmond, Suns, all games that he can score well in. So I'm not too worried about him. Zorko, like I said, he played mid-forward role like he's listed as in fantasy. 79% time on ground. And just without the marks, without the tackles, he didn't kick any goals this week. He just can't score well. He has one of the best runs leading up to his mid-season bye. But if he doesn't have that half-back role, I can't see him scoring well. Had Seth Campbell on my bench. He scored 37. Probably can go. He's maxed out in price now. He's been really good for just some team selections. He's just been a green dot for every single week so far this year. And with the amount of people out for Richmond, I won't really see him getting omitted from that team, I don't think. But can go. He has Frio next week, so a little bit tougher as well. And then I've got Sanders, Harley Reid, Zach Williams, all on my bench, not playing. Well, Zach Williams will play. It's just whether his Achilles can hold up. I won't be surprised if he does get subbed yet again with another knock to the Achilles. But as it goes for my trades, so I'm going Zach Fisher to Garcia and Massimo to obviously Caldwell, who played yesterday. Frees up 200k in the bank for me next week, so I can go Campbell down. I can now play Harley Reid on my field next week, and I can go hopefully probably Zach Williams up to either top liner in the midfield or top liner in the defense. I'll probably try to get someone like a Sarong next week just to help out with my bye structure a little bit more. Maybe even a Zach Butters if he does well against St Kilda, because he also has Crows and Geelong and Hawthorn and North Melbourne in the next 4 games. So he should be really good leading up to his mid-season bye. Obviously, the best part to have some players on. People have Hayden Young, Jeremy Sharp, Connor Rosie, people like that. But if I can get my hands on a Caleb Sarong, that will definitely help with my ranking as well as my bye structure as well. He has 144 breaking, but it doesn't really matter if you're trying to get to a guy that is averaging one of the most fantasy points for the year. Obviously, has a very high ceiling with that 161 that he had in the first game. So he has a little bit of a tougher run leading up to his mid-season bye, but he does have Bulldogs, Richmond, St Kilda, Collingwood maybe is an easy game, I'm not too sure. Melbourne might be a bit tough as well, but after his bye, he's got Bulldogs again, he's got the Gold Coast Suns, he's got Richmond, Hawthorn in the first five games after his bye. So someone that I'll need to jump on pretty soon, or otherwise he might burn me. He's 15% owned. Also someone like an Andy Brayshaw, someone to keep your eye on with his role. He's obviously been playing a little bit of wing this year, and he's only had 200 so far. But with that run coming up, I won't be surprised if he goes back to scoring hundreds. Other people that have a later buy are also some guys to try to get your hands on. So maybe someone like a Jack Steele would be handy. Zach Merritt has around 14 buy, which is one of the buys that I have quite a few people on, but I'm going to try to get rid of people on around 12 by is probably the way to go first. So probably can get rid of a Matt Roberts pretty soon, Zorko if his role doesn't hold up, even a Grundy or a Jerry can go for someone with a pretty easy run after. So I think that the best option is probably a Rowan Marshall, I'd say. So he's got Soldo after his bye. He's got Grundy, he's got Riley O'Brien, and then he's got whoever's rucking for West Coast at that time. So that's not too bad of a run. I'm not too sure about English, to be honest. He's been a little bit up and down. He's got one game below 70, and he's got three games above 100. I'm not too sure what ruck I'd bring in. I need to get Gorn in sometime. He burns me every single week, and it's just a pain to watch him as a non-owner in Classic, and has got Toby Conway next week, so I'm pretty scared for that matchup as well. But yeah, that's how I'm looking like this round. Captain options, so obviously VC on Gorn on Wednesday, a lot of people had, and unfortunately I have him in draft, which is pretty nice, but unfortunately for me it just doesn't work out for Classic. So 19% of coaches that have Marcus Bontempelli have gone with Bont. Nick Dacos, so that's 8% of coaches jumped on him as a VC option. Ron Marshall as well up there. He should score a lot of points against Jordan Sweet this week. Tom Green, if you went with him, also another really good option. Harry Sheasel, 4% of coaches have jumped on him, and I reckon he will be my VC as well this week. Tim English, Bont, Sheasel, all top captain options this week, according to Fantasy Coach. People have gone with Harry Barnett for that loophole option with Gorn, and maybe even a Tom Green. Isaac Heaney, also one of the top captain options, according to everyone else in the comp. As well as Caleb Sarong, who's also up there. So those are some guys that can score pretty well for you in the next couple days. I won't be surprised if Walsh does very well against Geelong. Connor Rosie, I know he scored 70 last week, but surely he gets more than that against St Kilda. Sam Flanders, I think, is a really nice option against West Coast. I think he'll get quite a bit of the ball on Sunday afternoon. But that's about it for me today. So I'll be going VC on Sheasel and captain on either Heaney or Flanders. I'll just make my mind up after Sheasel's game tomorrow afternoon, I think it is. Yep, 1:15 tomorrow. Adelaide versus North Melbourne. So that's how I'm looking this week and should be okay. Now I'll just get into some questions that I got on Instagram earlier in the week. So the first one was, how might the early games affect my trades this week? What do I need to be careful of? So obviously, team selections came out yesterday, and there was some pretty big news with Sanders going out, with Harley Reid being omitted or managed, and now that we've got Zach Fisher's news, you probably want to get rid of Zach Fisher. But I went with Caldwell, and you can probably say that it was probably the easiest choice to go with a Max Gorn as VC. So you didn't have to be careful of any of those guys. It was just whether or not you had to bring in someone for those early games like I did, or if you just had to hold off and you were going with like a McRae or someone else like that. Hugo Garcia as well was a later game, so you didn't really have to be careful about that. If Hang Young is ruled out this week, should we hold him? So far, from what we know, Han Young is fine to play. If he does get ruled out, I think it's probably the easiest option to probably hold him. Yeah, I'd say that Will Graham can come on your field, Closey can come on your field. If you've got some DPP options with like a Matt Roberts, with a Nick Martin, well, Nick Martin's locked out now, but you could go with him. That's probably the easiest thing to do, is to hold him for 1 week so that you just rest up. Was Sam Draper holding the ball last week? Yes, it was. He did drag it in and he did have a good night's sleep on the footy. That's obviously very frustrating as a Adelaide Crows supporter. But unfortunately, the umpires weren't on our side for the last couple seconds of that game. Who would you say are the top six forwards this year? So, I'll have a look at averages. So, I'd say Isaac Heaney, number one. Flanders, number two. So far this year, I'd say Zorko, number three. Yep, Zorko, number three. Tom Powell, number four. Brad Hill's been pretty good in the last couple games. You could probably go Brad Hill at four, and someone like a Luke Jackson at number, or Luke Jackson at number six, just because of how he went in the first few rounds this year. Those are probably the top six forwards, sorry. And then you've obviously got someone like a Caldwell who's been heating up so far this year, unfortunately, just a lesser score this week against Collingwood. And then you've got like a Liam Baker maybe. Grant Meiss has been averaging 90, which is a little bit surprising and is just near the ball for most of the forward entries. He's been very good as well this year. And then you've got some key forwards like a Jeremy Cameron, Waterman, Kerno, Harry Mackay. So all of those guys have averaged well as a forward. I'm not too sure how many people would have picked them up, though. You would have been pretty brave to pick up any of those guys. But yeah, I think Heaney 1, Flanders 2, Zorko 3, Power 4, Brad Hill 5, and it's between Jackson and Caldwell is F6, I think. So those are my rankings for the forward line. McRae, is he a trap? So I'm not the biggest fan on any Bulldogs players, to be honest, so far this year. Bond's been up and down. Treloar's probably been the only guy that's been pretty consistent so far this year. So McRae is 715k, Brayfield was 74, had that 120 last week, so all of those things are ticks. It's just whether Bevo decides to play him in the midfield or whether he plays him on a wing, half forward, something like that. Obviously, Lib is coming back, so that might affect his scoring as well. St Kilda was an easy matchup, so that's something to consider as well. Frio is a tougher game, but then you've got Hawks and Richmond, the two games after that, but then it's a little bit tougher with GWS, Sydney, Brisbane, and Frio in the five games after those two matches. So that's a little bit tougher. That's why I went with Caldwell instead of McRae. If McRae does well this week, then it's pretty easy to jump on him next week. So just to wait on the roll, I'd say. I'm going to give him one more week, see how he performs. If he's fine, if he has a midfield role, it's probably one of the easiest choices to jump on him next week. Obviously, about 10% of coaches have jumped on him already, so you won't be missing anything if you do also follow the pack this week, because he's the second most traded in player. But I'm just going to give him one more week, just see how he goes, and hopefully he performs well against Freo. And the last question is, I like the look of Brad Hill, but have been burnt by him before. Good average and low break even. Have you got any thoughts? Brad Hill, I would have said that he's more of a draft option as at the start of the year, but he's been very good in the first, in the last three rounds. So he hasn't gone below an 80 since round three. Also with that 150 in gather round against GWS, which was going to be a hard game. He had 33 touches, 13 marks, 3 tackles in that match, and followed it up by a 31 disposal game. 6 marks last week against Western Bulldogs, so has got poor this week, a bit of a tougher matchup, but his run leading up to his bye in round 15 is pretty good. He versus North, Hawthorn, West Coast, and Gold Coast, all in those 7 games. 6 games before his mid-season bye, so definitely an option. He would be my F5, probably my rolling 22. I'm just not too sold on him because I've always thought of him as more of a draft option, but if you want to go for him, I'd consider it as well, because he is going to be maybe even a top 8 forward, I'd say. Hopefully his role stays the same as a ball-winning wingman, as well as maybe even a half-backer as well. So those are all the questions that I got this week. And I think that's about it for this week's podcast. So I'm sorry for getting this out to you guys late. Been pretty busy this week. And I will check in with how my team went next week. So we'll be back in the studio next week at the college, and hopefully we'll be all good to go for what will be an interesting round 8 in terms of trading and buy structure and all of that. So have a good week, everyone. Hopefully we score well this week and move up the ranks yet again. And yeah, I'll see you next week. Thanks.